Hello everyone, it's Nico here. Today I'm so excited to be part of Community Info Source Podcast Project. And today you're going to hear me talking to one of the board members. And I just want to know, why are we doing this podcast and what are we expecting to come out of it? And I'm so excited to tell you that, ladies and gentlemen, we have 8 episodes to follow after this intro. So let's go to one of the board members. Please take me through to this. Why are we so excited about this?
Well, what I would say is that Community InfoSource, which you know it as is, does a lot of work surrounding asylum seekers and refugees, and sometimes even supporting other migrants that are destitute. So Community InfoSource work is around creating that sense of belonging for asylum seekers and refugees and helping to challenge all the barriers that asylum seekers face. For example, we had the recent COVID-19 pandemic that left a lot of asylum seekers without maybe the use of food banks, so which meant that asylum seekers were basically living below the poverty line compared to other local citizens. And that's where Community InfoSource would basically step in and support more people in areas whereby they're not known to the other community members, but they're very much known to InfoSource because they're part of their members that they support when it comes to doing work for them.
Okay, we'll move on to question number 2. How would you explain what charity or non-government NGO is to someone who don't know about the idea?
Well, I think that's where that question comes in confusing people in the communities. You'd be wondering which one is non-charity or NGO or when people hear about refugee-led organizations. I think for Community InfoSource, it covers quite a lot around almost everything. It can touch on non-charity governmental work. It can touch on charity work. It can touch on as being refugee-led organization. And then it can go beyond and above to supporting members who are basically destitute and are basically homeless. So you're looking at people without, for example, people being in the hotels maybe and without no internet. So it will expand their work to basically applying for for that digital connection for groups which don't have communication. And looking back with the COVID-19 pandemic, it was a waste time whereby a lot of people didn't have mobile phones with internet or money to top up their phone. And this is quite like a hard work that Community InfoSource had actually initiated to go around hotels. And I think they've continued to even do that and support people that are either still in the hotels or are not in hotels.
Great. How do you feel, or what impression did you get the first time you came into CIS and now as a board member?
I think it was natural for me. It was organic because I was already a member of part of the work that CIS was doing. Way back, I was into a project called Living Well in Glasgow. And that was more like basing that project on a small income that comes from people in the asylum process, because it's like, how can you eat well? How can you live well on the type of amount of money that you get from the Home Office? So it was more like using that sustainability of sourcing out from communities that have got gardens, and the woodlands was one of it, whereby they had grown their potatoes and we collaborated with them and would get potatoes from there and just walk into the Quaker House where we had the place to do the kitchen project. So from that time on, I carried on to see CIS coming up with different projects and until I became part of the board member to continue basically reflecting on the work and what needs to be done ahead for asylum seekers, just to help them to have that sense of belonging and not face the barriers themselves.
Wow, that's cool. I think this is really personal. The next one, that as a board member, what do you find useful, helpful, or welcoming at CIS, and what do you find it unhelpful or difficult? Because you guys are the people maybe make like some of the decision on the board.
Okay, I think it's being part of the decision-making bodies. It's like you reflect on a lot of projects, see which ones are working out well and which ones are lacking funding as well. And, you know, just basically coming up with ideas on how to chip in into other funding ports and help to fundraise. I think some members have also even probably donated money towards the projects that have had less money, and how to continue them and how to initiate other projects to come on board, as looking at Glasgow, it's got more asylum seekers now from different multicultural backgrounds, and also how to understand the communities that they're coming from and how to help them adapt to their new communities in Glasgow, Scotland. So I think I've seen that growing, and I've seen like more people coming on board as well. And to me, I think it shows that CIS has been expanding, the fact that it's got a different diverse background of different people on the board as well. And the difficult part, I think, could be maybe it has been when maybe everything moved online during the COVID-19. You couldn't basically socialize on issues, network properly as a team, because everything was done on Zoom. And on Zoom, you know, it's only one person comes in at a time. You can't all come in at the same time. But if you're in the room, you can have those arguments coming together and then, you know, talk until someone talks. Difficult coming on Zoom is I find it a bit boring, to be honest, because it's like you have to wait for one person to keep talking. There's no getting up to get a glass of water, or there's no winking eyes with another person on the table to nod, someone to see you that you're nodding your head to agree with what is being talked about. I think that's been the most challenging and most boring thing for me. And also that thankfully it's been manageable because people can meet without, you know, running late hours, and childcare money has been saved up somehow to basically have meetings on Zoom.
That's great. What are these things to you? Interest, strength, achievements, fears, or anything would you like the InfoSource to know about you, or CIS and volunteers to know about you? So,
regarding the strength, is basically I have actually grown with more strength and determination to have that extra courage to carry on with other things that I've done outside CIS. It's because I think I would say my roots of living in Glasgow comes from CIS, and I've actually ventured and expanded into doing a lot of things, and I bring back some of the ideas and reflections on what is happening somewhere else, which is not happening in CIS. So I kind of like chip into that and also probably discuss it at different board meetings when I've attended. But mainly I would say my biggest strength started from my roots growing from CIS, expanding to venturing into other issues that I've been doing, supporting asylum seekers and refugees and migrants in Glasgow, Scotland.
Please, do you have anything to add beside those questions I've been asking you? Like as a board member, just like share out of the questions, anything that you want to add for the audience to hear about CIS, Community InfoSource.
But you have to look back at the years, you know, because CIS has been in existence for quite a long time. So it's people have to be honest with, you know, the support they've received or their involvement with CIS. But if people are afraid to speak up, it means it's biased. You're giving information which is not real. But I think people should really be honest with, yes, this is how much I'm being part of this organization, and or maybe I'm not happy with this organization because of this and that. But with development, yeah, people have to reflect back, you know, because they'll be either being interviewed and thinking of now, and then they're forgetting, and then the focus would be, what am I doing after this? But they need to just be stay put and stay still and look back to say, those years, what happened, you know? how much celebration have we had? How much, you know, success have we had through all these projects? What did we do right? What did we do wrong into all those projects? And what has changed? What has advanced? Or how many people have come on board? Or how many people have walked away? Or looking at why did this and that person walk away? Was there something wrong? And yes, this has even lost some members, which has been, they're very hardworking. And it was a bad time for CIS. And these two people were very hardworking. And then they really brought a lot to CIS with different expertise. You can imagine they were working for Orchard and Shipman before it was Seco, before it was, you know. And so it's so them working there and coming to work with CIS. So there was a lot that they were bringing in that expanded the work of CIS to look at all these things you think were right, they are wrong. So it's that was a big achievement to get someone that once worked for Orchard and Shipman and two of them at the same time, you know. So that's even what's made CIS, even when it comes to challenging housing issues, a very successful project.
Oh, thank you. What a great opportunity for me, myself. I'm so excited as well to talk to one of the board members for Community InfoSource. So just to clear one thing, if you had a word, CC stands for CIS, Community InfoSource. And yes, keep on listening. Tune in.